All right, good morning, Bethany Church. How are we doing out there? It's great to see your smiling faces. I'm going to introduce my friend Michelle, and she works with an organization called NAMI. Later next year, we're going to do a health seminar, and mental health is a big part of that. And in today's world, there are so many people, I'm sure everyone, a lot of people you know, struggle with this. So this is an organization I recently came across, and we just wanted to have a presentation, let you know what she's doing in Billings. And I'm sure someone that you know could really use some help in this area. So, Michelle, I want to introduce you. She loves the Lord, which is what excites me. So,
well, thank you so much, Jordan, for letting us be here. Like he said, my name's Michelle. I am the program and volunteer coordinator for NAMI Billings. NAMI stands for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It was started back in 1979 between some families who had children with a mental health condition who didn't know where to go for support, community, and just help along the journey of their child's mental health. So now we have over 600 affiliates of NAMI across the United States, NAMI Billings being one of them. We have a table outside in the lobby, I'm sure you saw on the way, and I'd love to get the opportunity to talk to all of you, or as many as possible. But what we do specifically at NAMI Billings is provide free weekly support groups for anybody that's affected by mental health. So it could be for the individual with a diagnosis, but it could also be for the friend or the family member who's supporting that person. We also offer seasonal educational classes, also for the individual with a diagnosis and for the family and friend. And then finally, we do community presentations. So I really hope to get an opportunity to talk to you. I am here with my program advisor, Patty Yoder. So we have some goodies back there. The kids have already been all over the squishy brains. So if your kid comes home with a colorful squishy brain, I'm sorry. But they love them. So that's really what I'm going to leave you with, so that you have some questions, you'll come and talk to us. Jordan, again, thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, you know, I'm the pastor, so I get emailed all the time with people asking for, you know, help and looking for solutions. And so I was so grateful to come across the organization. And as we said, in March, we're going to do a little health seminar about your physical health, emotional health, financial health, and spiritual health. It'll be a great time. So, you know, hey, I came ready to preach this morning. I am fired up. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord? All right. I'm in the book of Hebrews chapter 3. I'm in a series here called All Ears. If your ears are open to the Holy Spirit, you can hear his voice. And I like how the Bible says that if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, you'll hear him. If we could just hear from God, do you know how much easier your life would be? You know how much better it would be? You know how much wiser you would be? I found a great passage, Hebrews chapter 3. I want to read starting in verse 7 down to verse 11. And this is the writer of Hebrews quoting from the 95th Psalm. And he says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you'll hear his voice. Who wants to hear his voice today? He said, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my work 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that we would hear your voice. I pray be easy and clear. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, that you love us enough to speak to us. And I pray that we would be able to hear from you clearly without distraction and without any kind of hindrance. I pray, Lord, that this would bear fruit today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, so my wife, Elizabeth, is one of the easiest people to be married to. She's so great. The only issue I'm faced with, Elizabeth, she's so quiet. Sometimes I don't hear her. Now, if I'm watching TV, especially football, I don't hear her when she says something. That one might be a little more selective. But when it's across the house, especially if I'm brushing my teeth, you know, with those toothbrush things today, they're loud, right? I can't hear Elizabeth. She's talking to me. And, you know, she's kind of like, well, that's not really true. But I know it's true because every time we go to drive-thru for coffee, they always almost ask if she can repeat that order. They need her to speak up. And so she's got a quiet voice. And sometimes it's the same thing with God. You've really got to learn how to listen for him. You've really got to learn how to hear his voice. Because sometimes his voice is that still small voice. I want to give you some hindrances to hearing from God. Last week, we talked about the primary ways that God speaks. And this morning, I just feel like this is a great message. I'm going to give you some hindrances as to why people don't hear, things that prevent you from hearing. And I'm going to jump around in a couple different verses this morning. So we're in Hebrews 3. We'll come back to that. But I want to start in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, you can flip over there. And the first story here is the story of Martha and Mary. It says in Luke 10 in verse 39 that Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet, and it says she heard his word. But it says Martha was distracted. You ever been distracted? With a whole lot of serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, Martha, you're worried about and troubled about many things." So this tells me, it gives me a great clue. The very first hindrance we have to hearing God's voice clearly would have to do with distractions. You know, a distraction is anything that prevents your full attention from focusing on the Lord. And in 2024, life is filled with distractions. We live in the information age, technology abounds, and you're so consumed by different things. I think about King Solomon. He was distracted by his many wives. They got him off course. I think distractions are like the most common blocker to hearing from God. And we get distracted when, you know, we're just kind of caught up with different things, our focus in there. And there's so many different ways you can get distracted. I think the number one distraction in society today, you know what it is called? A smartphone. That's exactly that thing that I call a necessary evil. It is addictive. They've programmed social media sites so that you get a dopamine high when you look on social media. And it's like, man, you've got a muscle memory to that phone. Everywhere you go, you grab it, you do things with it. I know people, it's just like, man, they just can't get that thing out of their hands. And how much time is wasted when you're scrolling through it and your mind is somewhere else? So whether it's social media, TV, that smartphone is consuming people. It's distracting them. We see what happened to Martha right here. She was distracted by busyness. You can get real caught up with being busy. And American culture is that way. People brag about how busy they are. Martha's busy, but she was too busy, in fact, to hear from the Lord. And when I come across people who are always busy, always tired, always doing something, I know that that can create problems in itself in your spiritual life. You know, I'm in my third remodel at our house, and I have learned now how to balance it, how to rhythm, how to flow with it, not be caught up with it, because it can create all kinds of busyness. And that work-life balance is so important. I read this week about a Green Beret. He'd served 10 years in Special Forces, and he got a job working at one of the banks, Bank of America. They had him on a 100-hour week job. He worked 100 hours. He logged 100 hours in a week, and at the end of the week, he dropped dead of a heart attack. And so Bank of America was like, "Well, we'll reduce that to 80 hours now." And it's like, you know, people are so caught up with busyness and distractions in life. You get distracted by good things like relationships. You know, I know people whose children become everything in their lives. And it's like they just run after it. They do things like skip out of church because they got to, you know, catch all the traveling sports teams. And they've made, sometimes your kids can become the highest priority and you can get out of balance with that. King David is a man who got distracted in a relationship. He got entangled in the wrong one and it became a distraction for him. He wasn't able to hear from God or think clearly. You can be distracted by the wrong pursuits, like hobbies. I mean, people today live for pleasure. And the problem with pleasure is that it can come at the expense of your peace. You can always tell when it's robbing you from something, when it becomes a consuming thing, when the hobby becomes your passion and driving force and it's consuming and all you think about, that is when you know you have got a distraction. And so I want to challenge you to stay focused. That is a prayer of mine. I'm always trying to remind myself to stay focused on the things that matter. Stay focused on the things of God. If you can focus on what matters, if you can focus on the Lord, you can really hear from him. And if you stay spiritually focused, your life will go well. Think about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that was her sole focus, and she was able to hear the secrets that Jesus had about going to the cross, things that everyone else missed, just because she sat and listened. Now, let me give you a second hindrance, which is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like you to flip over there with me. Ephesians chapter 2, here's the second hindrance for hearing. And this verse gives us clues as to why people don't hear. One verse packed with a lot of nuggets. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 2. He said that you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. It says, among whom we also conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. Now, let me give you a second thought here about hindering voices, and that would be the competing voices that take place in your mind. Competing voices. This one verse has got three of the voices that will compete against you. I'm going to give you four of them. When a voice is competing in your mind, it is attempting to steal from you. It's attempting to gain superiority over your soul. And those voices will often dictate the directions and the decisions that you make in life. I think about King Rehoboam. You know, he's a man in 1 Kings 12 who had the advice of Solomon's advisors, the old men, but he rejected their advice. He chose to listen to the voice of the young advisors, and it cost him the kingdom because he listened to the wrong voices. So let me talk about the voices that are competing with you. The first voice I want to highlight here is the voice of worldliness. If you look at what he said here, he talked about the course of this world. And the voice of the world is very powerful, and you can hear it in the culture. Our culture today is awash with perversion. I mean, there's so much wickedness in it, and it's like there's a major attempt to normalize perverse behavior that's never happened in American history before. We've got a politically correct culture where people are afraid to say truth and speak things, and especially if you're a pastor, you know, people get afraid because they don't want to offend people, and so they won't talk about certain things. They won't bring up politics. They're afraid to mention issues. You know, speaking of politics, it's coming up right at us, and there's going to be something on the ballot called the CI 128, and I'm going to be encouraging you to vote no on that. We'll be talking about that because of the ramifications it has. But in this culture, it's like people are afraid to address certain things. Think about where the culture is. I mean, you get on that smartphone of yours that is so distracting, and I have found several, you know, I've come across like comedians doing reels, and some of the vulgar things that even women comedians are saying is so crazy right now. And you've got all these voices, the voice of the world. Another thing that the world will speak about is like the news, man. You can't get scared about the news, you know that? If you watch too much of it, it'll really depress you. Elizabeth was watching too much of it this week. She was calling me. She was like, World War III could be starting. I was like, well, that is possible. I'm not too worried about it. Jesus talked about the cares of the world being caught up. You get sidetracked with all kinds of different things, right? Like, you know, things that appeal to you and people obsess over wealth and they got all kinds of opinions that you can get caught up with. So the voice of the world's right there. He mentions in this verse another voice which had to do with the prince of the power of the air. And that would be Satan, who's the tempter. And the tempter is going to introduce temptations by planting thoughts in your mind. He's called the prince of the power of the air. That's a spirit at work in people. Think about that spirit. It'll just put little thoughts in your mind to disobey God. And Satan loves to entice you with an appealing idea. It appeals to your pride. It's a deceptive voice. Isn't that interesting when a voice is deceptive? It's almost like intoxicating. And you know, you can always tell when a spirit's at work because it says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That influence that Satan has can allure you and pull you away. And then another voice that's mentioned in this verse here has to do with the lust of the flesh. That's that voice that says, I want that. And you know, the crazy thing about your flesh is it's never satisfied. You know, the scripture says that the eyes of a man are never satisfied. It's like some people, it's just never enough. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much success you have, it just feels like something is driving you because you're not satisfied. And the scripture also tells us in the book of Proverbs that the eyes of a fool are on the end of the earth, which means sometimes you're out there looking so far into things and you want more and you're not satisfied. I've noticed that when the voice of the flesh is at work, there's so much pressure. It's this sense of, I have to perform, I have to get, and you can feel the pressure within you kind of pushing you for something. These are competing voices, whether it's the world, whether it's the Satan himself, whether it's your flesh. But there's another voice that you should listen to, and that voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is more powerful than all the other voices we've mentioned combined. I like how the Bible says in Proverbs 29 that the voice of the Lord can break the cedar, which means it's got the power to break you out of a funk, out of a cycle, out of deception. The voice of the Holy Spirit in your life will bring calm to chaos. It'll bring comfort to sorrow. It'll bring peace to strife. It'll bring clarity to confusion. It'll bring power to weakness. It strengthens you. Now, as a preacher, what's amazing about being a preacher, I get to live the sermons. So if you're putting together a message about hearing from God, you can rest assured that you will start having competing voices play out in your mind for different things. And so, you know, this week, you know, I was thinking about an opportunity that presented itself, something to buy. And you know, it's caused my emotions to, like, you know, up and down, that tug of war you have in your emotions. You ever had that, big decisions? And you might get stressed out about something, and you can have this competing voice taking place in your life. Your emotions going one way in a tug of war, back and forth. And you're trying to really figure out, God, am I hearing from you? And so I've learned in situations like that to take time to pray. If you pray, you can find the peace of God. Take that time to pray. Locate your sense of peace. Yeah. And the competing voices in your life, they have to be silenced. You've got to find a way to find the peace of God. And when you locate the peace of God, really drill into that. I'm listening for the Holy Spirit all the time. What I have discovered is that God diligently rewards those who seek him. That's Hebrews chapter 11. He diligently rewards people who seek him. Not casually, but diligently seek him. If you make it a practice to say, Lord, I'm going to listen for your voice. I'm going to focus on you. And you actively spend time with him. You can become good at hearing from the Holy Spirit. It's no mystery. It's just a matter of availability and learning how to focus on the right voice and shut out other voices. Sometimes when you're dealing with the voice of the flesh, the best thing you can do is go on a fast. When you're fasting, it's like things slow down. It becomes very easy to hear from God as opposed to when your flesh is running wild. Now, I want you to go back with me to Hebrews chapter 3, and I want to highlight these third, fourth, and fifth hindrances. I want to come back to where we started. Hebrews chapter 3. I do think it is so interesting that it says right here, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and he's quoting the 95th Psalm, but he said, as the Holy Spirit says, which tells me that the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the Bible. It was written by men who were inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. And where's my boy, Pastor Kyle, at? Where's Kyle at? Over here in the corner, I see. He's outside. You know, Kyle's doing the men's ministry, and he's going to be teaching on the believability of the Bible coming up here in a few weeks at 6 in the morning on Tuesdays. And I'm really excited about that series because there's something about the scripture that is inspired and powerful. As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you'll hear his voice. Who wants to hear his voice today? He said, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the trial in the wilderness. So let me give you a thought right here about how to, a hindrance. Here's a third hindrance. A third hindrance to hearing from God is a voice that is not neutral. By neutral, I mean that your heart is open to the Lord. Because what happens is sometimes your heart gets closed to him. Your heart gets closed like the Pharisees' heart, and they became dull of hearing. The Pharisees could not hear truth when it presented themselves. Backsliders, people who start drifting away. Hebrews chapter 5 says that backsliders become dull of hearing. And there's certain moments in life when if your heart isn't in the right place, you're not able to hear from God clearly. When we desire something more than God, it's nearly impossible to hear his voice. It's nearly impossible to follow his direction and guidance. When it says here in Hebrews 3, it speaks of a generation that looked back in their hearts towards Egypt. When they were in the wilderness, they were looking back at Egypt. Now, I have been through moments like that in my life. Man, there's certain times I've come across things and, you know, I'm tempted to look back and dwell on those things. But I do love what the scriptures say in Hebrews, or in Philippians chapter 3, that mature people forget what's behind and they reach for the things that are ahead. You got to leave certain things in the past. You can't live back there. Immature people tend to stay focused back there. You know, it's interesting, we had NAMI here this morning, and I kind of had set this up months in advance, and I was looking at, you know, teaching on this very subject of hearing from God. And this is what I discovered about things like depression. Depression comes when you are looking too far back in the past. But anxiety happens when you're looking too far out into the future. And today's world, we've got people on so much medication from depression, from anxiety, and a lot of that is rooted in I'm dwelling on the past or I'm too focused on what lies out there ahead of me. So if you look too far ahead, you're also not neutral. You're trying to, you know, live way out in things that haven't happened yet. There's a great verse that Jesus mentioned, Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, sufficient for today is its own problems. The scripture here said, today, if you'll hear his voice. That means that it's something about being in the moment. If you look too far in the future, you're not in neutral. You know, we had a piece of property just down the road over here. And I remember in 2012, we bought that property. I was totally convinced we were going to build over there. And we planted trees and, you know, we had everything set to do something great out there. I was so excited about that. But that thing never did materialize. And I remember I came across this verse, sufficient for the day is its own problem. You need to focus on specifically where you are in the moment in order to hear from God effectively. And that means your heart needs to be in a neutral position because neutral is now. It's staying a neutral is a delicate balance. It's living in the now. I like how Hebrews says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right now in the moment is when faith is actively working in your life. And if you could read the Greek language, you would see that the word for faith is a Greek word that is pistis. And that word pistis means that it's active and living and present in the moment that we're at. This is the place where God meets us, is in the moment. It's not in the past, he was there with you. It's not somewhere far in the future. The ability to hear from God happens right now in the now. And what I'm learning in life is that when you have moment by moment obedience, when you are walking in the moment with God, that is how your future unfolds. It's not something far out there. It's about what you're doing in the moment to walk with God and be close to him and hear his heart. And that takes you into the future. When you're living that way, you're very attuned to what the Spirit of God is saying. And if you can keep your heart in the right place and live in the moment and learn how to hear from God and stop the distractions and just focus on where am I right now? What is he saying right now? Your heart can be positioned to hear from him. Let me give you another hindrance. And that's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 10. Just jump down to the next verse here. He said, I was angry with that generation. Because he said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Let's talk about a fourth hindrance, which has to do with an unprepared heart. An unprepared heart is a heart that's not ready to move when God says move. Unprepared hearts are not pliable. And what God wants is he wants us to be pliable. It's interesting, the Bible says that the righteous live in tents, but the wicked live in homes. And it's kind of describing that pliability. When you walk with God, there's something about being a little mobile. You know, something about going and being led wherever he goes. I think about King Rehoboam again. The reason why he was distracted by his advisors is because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And we compare that with King Jehoshaphat, who it says prepared his heart to seek the Lord. A heart that's given to wandering is not a pliable heart. You know, one of my favorite hymns is Come Thou Fount. And if I could sing, I would sing it for you, but we know I can't sing. But it has this line in there which talks about a wandering heart. Bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that I love. The thing about your heart is it can wander. It can be deceived. You can get sidetracked with things. You can put yourself in a spot where you're really not prepared to hear from God. You're busy with other things. And when your heart is filled with fear or anxiety, God's voice will become stifled in your heart. We have to prepare our hearts to hear from God. Preparation is something that takes foresight and intentionality. You've got to prepare for it. It's like having babies. You know, I've had 3 little babies now. And when you have a baby, you have to prepare that house. You got to get cribs ready. You got to get the room ready. You got to paint it different colors. Isn't that right, Elizabeth? You get ready to have that baby, and that's some prep work. It's like the property, man. We got this property out here being developed. It's a dream of mine for many years. You know, sprinklers are about done out there. We're going to get some trees, some landscaping. It's really exciting because I'm preparing for growth. I've had so many people who've been like, man, that looks awesome. I'm excited for that. Because you want people to be able to look at a place that's cared for and know that people are here for them. It's like meal planning on Thanksgiving. You are preparing to get that meal set up, and people better come hungry and like it. Isn't that right, ladies? You're preparing that. It's like calendar planning. When I'm really good at calendar planning. I can get dates and things lined up on the year and line things up. And I do that because I'm preparing for things. One of the things that I calendar plan for is time alone with God. I purposely put it in certain places on my calendar so that I can be intentional about seeking Him and preparing my heart. And you need to do that with rest and with vacations. You got to figure out your moments by preparing for things. Preparation takes time. You want to prepare your heart? It takes some time. When you spend time in the Word of God, you keep your heart receptive to Him. Enough time, you need to have enough time when you read the Bible that when you come across a verse and it jumps out at the page to you, you can sit and dwell on it. Which is why I advise you put your smartphone somewhere else. Because I'll be like, you know, getting revelation from God, and suddenly I'll get a text, I'll get someone telling me, and before I know, I've lost that train of thought. So I purposely will put that phone, I don't sleep with the phone next to my bed. I want to be able to be focused in the moment. I want time. Spending time in prayer is what keeps your heart sensitive. What happens is when you spend time in prayer, you just wait and you pray, you get in the presence of the Lord, you can just feel His peace, and suddenly you'll get insights and answers, and they exist in the presence of God. He's got a marvelous way of highlighting things. If you spend time with God, the verse tells us here, you can enter His rest and His peace. And there's something that money can't buy peace, man. Peace is a powerful thing. When I've got a problem pastorally, when I'm struggling with something, I don't know what to do, I pray and I just seek the Lord and He gives me insights. If I spend time in prayer, I can work less, I can stress less. When I spend the time to pray and prepare my heart, God has this amazing way of smoothing things out. Preparation in your life, it produces appreciation. If you put effort into it, it suddenly starts mattering to you. You know that? If you'll put effort, if you'll do something, it's sort of like, you know, this home I'm working on right now. Now, in our home, I got to remodel it because, you know, it is amazing. The entire upstairs, except for one room, has got this tile, hideous white tile that echoes. And what happens is I've got a mother-in-law who works as a nanny for us now, right? And you got little kids coming in and out of the house, and that floor gets dirty, and someone's got to clean the floor. And if she wants the floor to look good, and you've got children coming in and out, then we got to stop that. She's like, take your shoes off, slow down, because it matters. She's put effort into cleaning that floor up. It matters. And when I know guys like that with their cars, don't laugh at me. You know, you get to keep my car clean because it matters. They put work into it. It's the same thing with your children, same things that matter in life. It's the same thing with the scriptures. If you care, it matters, and you'll put effort in it. It's the same thing with preparing your heart. If you put the time in because it matters to you, your heart becomes open to hearing from the Lord. Now, I expect to hear from God. Listen, hearing from the Lord is really not that challenging. It's not that God isn't speaking. It's just a lot of times you're just not listening. You're distracted. Your heart's not in the right place. And I have found for me, if I can get my heart right, if I practice being in His presence, if I stay at peace, if I've learned how to do those things, I'm telling you, it's easy to hear. You don't need prophets to guide you. You just need your heart in the right spot and the scriptures and the Holy Spirit, and God can speak directly to you. I had someone ask me today, does God really speak to people? And I pointed him to Philippians chapter 3, which says, if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. He's got a remarkable way of highlighting things. He knows how to do it. He knows if you need a club across your head, or He knows if you need compassion and love. He knows exactly what you need to hear. You just got to prepare your heart. Keep it clean. Keep it pure. Keep your heart with diligence. Those are the things that matter in life. And if you will prepare your heart, God will speak to you. He'll get you in the right spot. Let me give you this fifth way. And I'm here in Hebrews chapter 3 again, verse 12. He said, beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then he tells us to exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. All right, let me give you a final thought here about what hinders you from hearing. And that would have to do with deliberate disobedience. This happens when you consciously decide to sin. It means you've considered it, thought it through, and proceeded forward with it. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 calls it willful sin. It's the sort of thing Samson got himself into. And I'm just telling you, I've been around long enough. I know when people get caught up with it. The Bible warns us, do not be deceived. We just read here that sin will harden your heart. When your hearts are hard, your ears close. And this is what Paul wrote about in 1 Timothy, about a conscience that is seared with a hot iron. And what that means is you've lost any sensitivity to when the Lord is speaking to you. It's sort of like when you become overly familiar with people. And what happens is when you're overly familiar, you lose your ability to speak into their life. I have, you know, great friends at church here, man. I you know, have lived in the area my whole life, so I've got people who come to church. They've known me since I was little. And one guy said, it is hard for me sometimes to hear you as the pastor because I've known you since the fifth grade, and I know you can be a clown. So he was like, sometimes I struggle with that. And that's an honest answer, but that is from over-familiarity. You get over-familiar with people. You don't always listen to the insights and advice they have, do you? You need to hear it from somebody else, right? You know, it's the same thing with God. People can become overly familiar with God. They get stuck in a rut. They think that, you know, he's just the same, and they don't start listening to him, and you lose your fear of the Lord. It's a very dangerous place to be at with God. And when people get in that spot, somehow they think that they can get away with sin. They think, I can do it. God will forgive me. I mean, I've had people tell me that they've rationalized sin because they just think, God loves me. He'll forgive me. I can get through it. And that leads to a place where you become hard of hearing. It's deliberate disobedience. But repentance is what softens your heart. Sin will harden it. Repentance will soften it. This is when the conviction from the Holy Spirit pricks your heart. If your heart gets pricked by God, that is a good thing. If you are in a spot where you're considering sin and you have that slight sense of like, oh, I don't think I should do that, that is the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of your conscience. You know, I remember when I was at Pastor's University, and you can always tell when you've heard from the Lord when you see the reactions people have. At Pastor's University, I'm there with 100 pastors down in Florida. Pastor Larry's teaching the class. Man, I was so enjoying it so much, and he was talking about a time when he got convicted from the Lord because he had not been honoring his wife. He called her into the room. He told her he was sorry. He was crying. He was telling her about, she was just shocked. You know, by the end of that, all the 100 pastors in there, everyone's on their phone texting their wives. Remember that? I'm sorry. Everyone had that same, you know, as the Holy Spirit. That's how you can tell God was speaking. Yeah, and listen, these things happen to people. When the Spirit of the Lord convicts you, that is the voice of God, and he's trying to stop you from stepping out in sin. By the way, I like how the verse says here, exhort one another daily while it's called today. If you don't sense the Lord pricking you on something, it's like in your heart, guess what will happen? People will tell you. Exhort one another daily. I've got a mother who definitely tells me. I've got wives. One wife. She'll tell me. I've got sisters. That's what I meant to say. Sisters. They've also tell me. Yeah. I hear all kinds of corrections. I might hear one after the message today. Yeah. What repentance does is it gives you eyes to see. Repentance gives you ears to hear. Repentance gives you a heart to understand. You know, the most spiritual people are people who are quick to repent. I heard someone say this, I think it's true. You can define a person's spirituality by the amount of time it takes them to repent of something. Because I met people who are very self-righteous and will not repent. And I met people who are quick to turn when their heart gets pricked by the Holy Spirit. What repentance does is it releases humility. And humility is the thing that helps you process the truth. If you're just humble and honest with yourself, you can see truth in a situation, and you might just hear the voice of God. If I'm in an argument, if there's strife, if I've got problems going on, I'm telling you, man, it can be very hard to hear from heaven. And I have a rule with Elizabeth, you know, if we've had a little bit of an issue, it's very hard for me to get sermon prep lined up. It's hard for me to concentrate. My heart gets torn. And there's a reason why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. If you sleep all night angry at someone because you've had strife, it becomes very hard for you to wake up with peace and really hear from the Lord and stay in that place. So if I make things right, sermons come easy. It's the most amazing thing to me. Think about what the Bible says. Flee immorality, flee from sin, resist the devil, and don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Think about that. Do not get caught up with that. Willful, deliberate sin will stop you from hearing from the Lord. Now, I asked the question last week, how many of y'all want to hear from the Lord? Who wants to hear from God more clearly? Look at every hand goes up, because you know that God has the ability to speak to you. He's got the ability to do it. We said last week, he's got many different ways he can do it. This week is about what is hindering you from hearing clearly, all right? These hindrances from God's voice. Could it be that the problem you have is that you are distracted by too many things? And as I said before, it's not that God isn't speaking, it's that you're not listening. You are distracted. Right now, you're thinking about, you know, what's going on later in the day, the football game that's taking place, you're thinking about family meetings. When you get home, you got a phone, and instead of paying attention to children, you might just get on that phone. You think about you sitting with your spouse, the two of you are on a couch together, and both of you are on that phone, and there's no interactions there. That's a distraction. Same thing happens with God. You want to have time alone with God, and you're using, like I do, technology, and suddenly you end up somewhere online shopping for things you have no business buying. That's a distraction. And that can stop you from hearing from God. Maybe you're listening to the wrong voice, the voice of the world. Do not love the world or the things of this world, because this world is passing away. There's nothing it has to offer that can compare with the riches of eternity. But people get so consumed with that voice, that shiny object, that status symbol. Maybe it's the voice of Satan, in which the Bible says to resist him steadfast in the faith. That means that you are aggressive about pushing back on him and consistent, I'm not going to listen to him. But as I've said before, he's not going to give up easy. You've got to deny him. That means sometimes you have to deny yourself. And that's your flesh. And your flesh is never satisfied. Your flesh wants and goes after things and gets consumed by things. And if you can learn how to turn down those voices, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Think about what it said. Today, if you'll hear his voice, today, in the moment, in right now, when you go home, when you get up in the morning, he's right there with you. I like what Job says. He meets man at every morning. He meets you in the morning. He's always there to speak to you if your ears are open. Maybe you're peering too far into the past, or you're too focused on the future, and it hasn't allowed you to be in the moment where your heart is right. Man, that is something for me that I really have to focus on. I get so focused on things out there, and I lose sight of the moment. And I'm learning to do that in the moment, in the right now. How can I hear from the Lord? How can I stop? How can I slow down? That is a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes I get like caught up where I want certain things to take place in life, but I have to learn how to enjoy the journey. That is something that I struggle with. The journey isn't always easy. But if you can appreciate what God is doing in your life, you can let him work. You can hear his voice. You know, he will tell you some amazing mysteries. I had questions. You know what the funny thing about life is? You got questions, right? You want to know why. Why this and why that and why the pain. And I've had moments where I've had the Lord just bring answers to me that have been simple, profound, and helped me in the very moment that I needed them to be. I'm grateful for his voice. Maybe your heart is hard. It could be that sin is preventing you from hearing. I like when I preach, you know, sometimes I'll start praying for people and I really feel the presence of the Lord on me. I feel the anointing come on me. And sometimes when I grab hands with people, I get like an impression. It just happens. It's just part of the fivefold gift. And it's something I'm trying to grow in. And man, a few weeks ago, I had a real wonderful friend of mine. He came down to the altars. He wanted prayer. He doesn't live here. He comes here maybe once a year. He's living out in Washington or something. And he came down and he wanted to pray. He said that he was struggling. He wasn't excited about God. Wasn't really, you know, just excited to go to church. And he was trying to search for why am I in a dry spot. And he had just introduced me to his girlfriend. And as soon as I grabbed his hand, I knew he'd been sleeping with his girlfriend. And there's no greater way than to turn off like your excitement for the things of God when you live in deliberate, willful sin. So I was encouraging, man, live holy, live righteously. Don't get caught up in these things. Because when you let things like that in your life, when you know something is wrong to do, but you go ahead and do it anyway, what do you think is going to happen inside your heart? What's that going to do in your walk with God? Do you really want to hear from God? He might have some amazing things to say, but if you're caught up with sinful behavior, it's going to create problems in your life. So I want to pray for ears to hear and eyes to see. I just want to pray that we would hear from the Lord, and I pray that all the hindrances that would come off your life. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we just thank you. We come here in the presence of the Lord because of your blood. Yeah, where there's no shame and no guilt. We get to be here in your presence. And I pray right now for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Subtle, still, and quiet. Speak to us from the inside of our hearts and minds. I pray, Lord, it just wouldn't be words of correction, but words of affirmation. Oh, Lord, I thank you for affirming the people of God. I thank you for your ability to talk to us clearly, specifically and precisely. I pray that we'd remove distractions and voices and just prepare our heart to hear from you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I had this impression last week, and I had time to marinate on it this week and think about it. I saw something when I was preaching last week, and it hit me right here. Sometimes we think that God, you know, corrects us with things, and he does. He does that because he loves us, right? But sometimes the greatest thing you hear from me is a word of affirmation. It fires you up. Now, I was preaching last week, and I'm over here, and I looked at my friend Tom and Val, and it was the funniest thing. I saw really big ears, and I felt like the Lord was showing me that you have opened up your ear to hear from him. And what it's produced is repentance in a family. And because you've done that, I just feel like the Lord's going to bless that home. I could just sense that when you will open up an ear to hear from him. Mm. And so I want to affirm you from hearing from him and turning your heart. So I want to pray over you. Father, in Jesus' name, over Tom, I just thank you that you've begun a good work. You're going to complete it. You're going to do more. I just thank you for generational blessings over that whole entire family. And I pray in Jesus' name that what has started here is going to multiply and spread throughout the whole family. I thank you for household salvation because people will open up their ears to hear. I thank you for children being blessed. Thank you for sons and daughters coming to the kingdom. Thank you for sensitive hearts to receive, eyes to see, ears to hear. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness in our lives. You believe God is good? Man, he's good, isn't he? He's so good. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up this morning. I just thank you, Lord, for your mercy in our lives. You know, the opening words of the New Testament, you know what they were? Repent and believe in the gospel. And that took ears to hear. That's what John the Baptist opened up with. That's what Jesus opened up with. And maybe someone's out there this morning and you feel like you need to repent. You need to get right with the Lord. And today could be your day. This is the moment to hear from him. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you need to get right, if you want to repent, if you feel like you want to hear his voice clearly, you want to walk away from sin, I just want to give you the opportunity. I'm going to put a hand up and I'd love to pray with you. You can pray to get right with the Lord and walk with him. Yeah. Lord, I just thank you for your peace and your goodness. Amen. 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 All right. Hey, I love you all very much. It's great to see you out this morning. I was just encouraged to be in the house of God today. And I pray that you hear from the Lord. I believe you're going to hear from him more clearly this week. You can grow in your ability to really know when he's speaking to you. If you want prayer, the altars are open. It's great to have you out today. We love you very much. We will catch you all next week. I hope you have a great time. We got a lot of things going on this week, a lot of stuff starting. So you can sign up out in the foyer for the various Bible studies and things we got going on. And it will be a great time to just grow in the things of God. I love you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.